Our gospel reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31, and it reads, "Then he began to teach that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and to be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things.' He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, 'If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous, sinful generation, to them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. I come to you today with a sermon that asks a question: are you hoping against hope? By now, I suspect that some of you are trying to figure out, what could this title possibly mean? Are you hoping against hope? What I'm really asking is this. I'm asking you to ask yourselves, have I ever found myself in a situation when I hoped with all my heart that something I really wanted to happen would happen, but somewhere in the back of my mind, I had my doubts about it? Think about that for a moment. I hoped that something was going to happen with all my heart, but somewhere in the back of my mind, there were doubts. As you sit for just a few moments and recall those instances in your life when you found yourself in that situation, the biggest question that comes, that overshadows all of this, is how do we live with this conflict? How do we deal with these battling, struggling emotions within us? How do we deal with wanting something with all of our heart on one hand, but doubting that it will actually happen in the other? Just out of curiosity, has anybody ever found themselves in that situation? I see some hands going up. Yeah. Looking from the outside, to talk to somebody who's going through that kind of situation in their life, for those of us who have faith in God, we find it very easy to tell them, don't worry, have faith, trust in God, and everything's going to be all right. But what about the person who's in the middle of that? What about the person who's struggling with that? The situation, the problem, the issue, when we're steeped in it, it's hard to hear those words, isn't it, church? It's hard to hear somebody tell you, take comfort, everything's going to be all right, when things don't feel all right. And so, how do we wrestle with that? How do we wrestle with those worries, those doubts, those uncertainties that still sort of float around in our heads. Looking back at our scriptures today, here we find a situation, perfect example of what we're talking about. You have a couple, Abram and Sarai, desperately wanting a child. Tried for many, many years to have one with no success. And then God comes along and promises them that they would be the mother and the father of a great nation, that their offspring would be so numerous that no one would be able to count them. And so here they are, now in their 90s, still with no children, but hearing God's promise that one day they would become the father and mother of a great nation. In their hearts, they believed that God's word was true. But in their heads, they were looking at what they felt was their reality in the moment. What they heard in their own minds was, we're too old for this to happen. We've tried for so long and nothing has worked. Why should we think differently? But wait, God's promise has always been true. Beloved people of God, what a conflict to be in, isn't it? To be in a situation where you know God's promise is most likely true, but then there's a part of you that says that all of the odds are against us and this is not even a remote possibility. What a challenging position to be in. And then we move into our gospel. Here again, we find a situation taking place. Jesus has just shared something with his apostles, a bit of news that they weren't quite ready to hear. It was the kind of news that nobody wants to hear. If somebody is close to you, you don't want them to tell you that your days, have them tell you that their days are numbered. And not only are their days numbered, but it's not going to be a pretty send-off. How everybody is going to be against me, how I'm going to be tortured and beaten and rejected. But then after 3 days, I'll rise back from the dead. Well, hearing this news didn't settle well with any of them, particularly with Peter. And it was at that instant that Peter pulled Jesus over to the side and began to rebuke him, as the scripture says. And I can only imagine what Peter said to him. Peter probably said to Jesus, you know, that's not funny. Why don't you stop saying stuff like this? You know, we understand that they don't particularly like you. The elders and the chief priests, yeah, they don't like you, but they're not so crazy about us either. But that doesn't mean that they're going to turn around and torture you and kill you and do all these things that you're talking about. So why don't you just stop? To which Jesus responded by not turning to him, but he turned into the whole audience and he said to them, he says, stop trying to rationalize this, thinking and processing things through your human understanding, through your own reality. For you see, there are things that are going on in this world that are out of your control. There are things in this world that you can't possibly understand. All we can do is trust and believe that somewhere in the midst of all the things that we're going through, God is still there. And so believe what's true in your heart and stop trying to figure it out in your mind all the time. Beloved people of God, when we think back to the accounts that we read, what you'll find out is that God was still present in the midst of it all. When Abram and Sarai had their doubts, when God blessed them and changed their names to Abraham and Sarah, what we've learned is that he and she gave birth to a son named Isaac, who then in turn gave birth to two sons, Esau and Jacob, and one of those sons became the father of the nation of Israel, fulfilling God's promise that they would be the mother and father of a great nation. And in the case of Jesus, this one was a little harder to swallow. It didn't finish up as this victorious, great, hey, wonderful, they had kids at their old age moment. With Jesus, though it was said that he would be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and arrested and beaten and nailed to the cross and left to die, had that not taken place, our eternity, our opportunity to find our way back home to heaven would have never come about. And so though the news that we heard was not what we wanted to hear, was not the news anybody wanted to hear, it was something that had to be. It was during those moments in our lives when our hearts are telling us that we should trust in God, but our head is telling us that it's not going to work. It is at those times when we have to put our hope, our trust, and our faith in what God can do. It is in those moments that we have to let go of our doubt and trust that God's word will stand. And through his word, what God is trying to teach us is a lesson that most of us have learned our entire lives. So we've got to unlearn this. We have to learn that when we look at things, we have a habit of shaping them by our own human reality and our own human understanding. But the problem with that is it all comes with limitations. Limitations that will not allow us to see God at work, but it will only amplify the shortcomings of our own understanding of reality. Our own human realities teaches us that we have to trust in things like the law or science or our own strength or our own knowledge, where in fact, all these things, again, are limited by our own abilities or by others who set boundaries for us. But if we place our hope and our trust in things of God, what we will discover is that the things that God has placed in our heart becomes the reality. And if we can do that, the things that may feel impossible may actually become possible. But here's the best part of that. Even if it doesn't work out the way we hope for, knowing that God is involved in it will also change the way that we receive it. Again, I go back to our gospel example. Nobody wanted Jesus to die the way he did. But having God in the midst of that entire conversation, what happened was necessary so that we would be able to find our way back to heaven. Beloved people of God, we all have our moments where our head and our hearts are in conflict, where we hope with our hearts that some situation is going to happen, but our mind is still caught up in that realm that's filled with doubt and worry and concern. I encourage you, let your heart take the lead on those moments. Trust that God is there. Put your hope in God, and what you will come to understand, what we will all come to see, is that at the end of it all, we'll understand it just a little bit better. We'll be able to handle it just a little bit better, even when things don't turn out the way that we had hoped they would. And so, beloved people of God, just know that we all have our crosses to bear. But if we put our hope and our faith and our trust in God, those crosses become a little bit easier to bear. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for reminding us that every now and then when we stumble and fall and we begin to feel like we don't know where to go, that you're always there for us no matter what. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.